You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. And when I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for sportingnews.com. Check out the site. We talked about the article I had up about the fantasy football rookie rankings updated before the preseason games. Also, some preseason analysis there of teams and predictions, all that good stuff. And we've been looking in our crystal ball here on Fantasy Football Style Locked On, and we have just had so many ways of breaking down players, but I know what everyone's hungry for, and the rookies were part of it, is the sleepers. You want to know who are these sleepers, but it's getting harder and harder to say that a guy is a sleeper based on how much everyone knows about players at this point. There's really no secret players. When you go to the first few tiers at every position, people are kind of aware of who's going where. The rookies have bigger names coming in. You've got some sneaky guys that everyone's starting to look for. That's almost like a side hobby here in fantasy football when you're ranking players, looking for those guys that are underrated across the board. So that's what we're going to do here on this show. We'll look at the running backs, and we're going to go deep here. So not just your RB2s or RB3s, just going pretty darn deep in terms of guys you can target at the back end of your draft that can really pay off in a big, big way. So some guys that we're just going to pick that we like that are a bit undervalued at this position, and people that you hope that other people will continue to sleep on here as much as possible. And some developments go on that everyone doesn't buy into a certain player, or everyone is not aware of certain player's expanding role. That's what you want to take advantage of in your draft. So we'll start with one guy that I think is being very undervalued based on the situation. I think you look at Derrick Henry, he's going as a pretty high running back two at number 21 overall. Deion Lewis continues to go down a little bit. I think people are looking at Derrick Henry. He's outclassing his ranking at the 1780p, while Deion Lewis is going at 27. I think this is a closer split than people think. Lewis has to be used in the passing game. He's coming off a great season in New England, and they paid him money, so they want to use him. Derrick Henry is not built for a heavy feature role here. They want to keep him fresh to finish drives. Lewis gives them a little bit more versatility. You have an offense there with Matt LaFleur and Marcus Mariota. They want to have a receiving threat at the backfield be a big part of this offense. So Lewis proved last year he can run hard and well, coming off a career year with the Patriots. Looked very good. That's not a situation where it's just DeMarco Murray, a fading DeMarco Murray with Henry. It's actual legitimate competition. So I think it's going to be a closer split than you think. And I think Lewis is being rather undervalued in this offense so far. Now, Rex Burkhead, he's going to start to build some steam here. But Sonny Michel is going ahead of Burkhead in drafts. But right now, Burkhead is the healthy one. Michelle's got the knee. I think you have to look more and more at Burkhead having a key role, because James White, as much as an integral part of third downs and everything for the Patriots, he's not nearly involved in the offense as Burkhead, because he can swing and pass catches or catch passes. He can also score in the red zone and be a threat there. We've seen that running those short touchdowns. And he's a little healthier than Michelle. Michelle, I don't think, is going to give you that power back sense. I know right now they're trying to work in Jeremy Hill to maybe make the team ahead of Mike Gillisley, who was looking like a good power back last year. But Burkhead We know there's a lot of touchdown potential in New England, and Michelle's not in the mix early, or they ease him in from that knee procedure that he's having. It's going to keep him out a while. I think that's going to bump up Burkhead. So one former Patriots back, one current Patriots back. That's what we're looking at here. Now, another guy I think that is quite undervalued overall from being a solid RB2 last year is Chris Thompson of the Redskins. Darius Geis looking good, but they want to keep Thompson heavily involved. There's some questions about this passing game. We know how much Jay Gruden loves Thompson and what he can do. And in a PPR league, I think he's very underrated. It's ranked 38th here. Thompson is going to be involved. He can do a lot of things well. Geis, they're not going to overburden him in the pass protection situation. That's going to help Thompson as a receiver here. So go from there. Now, you look at Duke Johnson. This is the receiving backs, and I really like these receiving backs in even non-PPR leagues because they can get the job done, produce, get some yardage off that that's pleasing. And all you're doing at this stage is looking for those 8 or 9 points. Can you get them in some form? They occasionally make the end zone. You can get 70, 80 yards, especially if they can get involved in the traditional running game. And Duke Johnson, people are a little split. When you look at Carlos Hyde and Nick Chubb, there, I think they could split the difference here. Hyde right now is the starter. Chubb, the rookie, going to get some looks here, but I think Duke Johnson is the guy to target. Now, the Packers' backfield, we're looking at Jamal Williams versus Aaron Jones, but really Ty Montgomery should have a bigger spot, especially PPR, but in standard, they're going to have to involve him a lot. Kind of the extension third receiver here as well. So he's not only a backup like in the mix for running back, but I think he'll be used a lot in his traditional receiver spot. They're trying to help Devontae Adams and Randall Cobb as they're trying to figure out if it's Geronimo Allison or Jamon Moore, one of the other rookies there in the mix. But Ty Montgomery, for what he did last year, was involved in passing and produced. I think he's been kind of forgotten there in this mix. Now we go a little deeper here and look at Matt Breida of the 49ers. Matt Breida with Jerick McKinnon in front of him. McKinnon has never been in a full-time back role. I know they're trying to turn him into Devonta Freeman here, but Breida just flashed so well last year. He separated himself well from Joe Williams here. Undrafted rookie from a year ago, Williams was a drafted rookie, but Breida looked a lot better, held down that job behind Carlos Hyde. So I think he's going to get more touches than you think. We know that in the offense with Atlanta for Kyle Shanahan, there were two backs that worked, and it was Tevin Coleman getting some looks there. So Matt Breida can have that kind of production. They're going to find different packages for him. This is a good 49ers offense in terms of underrated skill players, and Breida is one of them right there. And you have to look at him for sure. Now, you look at Nyheim Hines there and Jordan Wilkins. We're just not sure who's going to touch the ball after Marlon Mack as much, but I would still venture to go with Hines here in this situation. I know Wilkins is a bit of a cog player, but I really look at the combination of what we had in Philadelphia. There's no real LeGarrette Blount here, so you have guys that are reminiscent of the other backs in here, Corey Clement and Darren Sproles and Jay Jai. I could see Jordan Wilkins having the Sproles role. Well, I could see at some point Hines having more of the Jai type role in this offense. So Nyheim Hines is definitely undervalued, and he's the guy that I'm going with in a good spot over Mack and Wilkins. We also have to really start to consider Doug Martin here as well. He's 55 in the rankings, 53, but he's clearly number two on the Raiders' depth chart in between Marshawn Lynch and Jalen Richard. We know Marshawn Lynch is older than Martin. Martin has a little bit more fresh legs, can be a little bit more involved in the passing game. So with the Martin advantage is that with Lynch, you're telegraphing plays, that's going to be a power run. Same thing putting in Richard, it's going to be a change of game or change of pace passing option. With Doug Martin, you can do a little bit of both, and I think the Raiders have been pleased that he's been rather healthy, looking good, showing some of the legs that made him such an effective back in Tampa Bay. So Doug Martin, a little undervalued for the situation, given that you can't totally trust what you see there in Marshawn Lynch, for sure, as he's older and could start breaking down. So Doug Martin, someone we're going to watch a little bit more, especially in the preseason, to see what kind of role he could carve out on this team. Now, we know Doug Martin's been doing a lot to stay in shape and continue his career. And it's August, so in training camp, I get inspired to go work out and get in shape for the season. Sometimes hard, though, to find time to go to the gym. We've all got a busy schedule. You need the motivation of a trainer or group class, but that's too time-consuming or costly. Do you ever wish the gym could come to you? Well, Nordic Track is for you. Nordic Track has a series of training equipment to give you amazing workouts in the convenience of your own home, including treadmills, exercise bikes, incline trainers, and strength trainers. And the best thing is you can join those high-energy streamed workouts any time of the day without stepping out the door. You can go check out a studio or exotic destination around the world. Workouts are led by the world's top personal trainers to ensure you meet your fitness goals. And there's a special offer now to get in shape with Nordic Track. For Locked On Fantasy Football listeners, you can get $75 off your first Nordic Track purchase by visiting nordictrack.com/lockedon and using the offer code Locked On. Again, visit nordictrack.com. That's nordictrack.com/lockedon and use offer code Locked On during checkout to see if $75 off your purchase. So a good way to get in shape, cut down on calories, cut down on cost here as well. Nordic Track has got you covered, and we thank them for sponsoring Locked On Fantasy Football. Let's continue with a look at our deep sleepers here at running back. We've gotten into the RB5 mode here as we're in the 50s to 60s overall, according to Fantasy Pros, the expert consensus rankings there. Now, there's a big question about Miami in that backfield with Kenyon Drake not being totally sold as a full feature back, even though he produced well for Adam Gase last year. Frank Gore was listed as a co-number one on the depth chart, but Kalen Ballage I'm watching for. I mean, we knew the twist that happened with Ajayi and putting the backfield in Drake's hands last year. I think that twist could happen again with Kalen Ballage, the rookie there for the Dolphins. Built of an underachiever in college, but very special skill set. And I think you'll see Ballage do a little bit more. Gore just can't be trusted to do too much. He's an older back. They keep trying to force him in there. It's hard because people love Gore. Coaching staffs love the veteran, the future Hall of Famer, but he shouldn't be seeing significant touches here. Ballage, with some upside there behind Drake, I could see him carving a role. So that is a guy that you're looking at for sure in your drafts late, stash among these rookies. And you never want to overlook anybody in a mix where the coach is talking about committee and not totally sold on one guy as his feature back. We talked a little bit about Chase Edmonds and John Kelly with the Cardinals and Rams, respectively, as handcuffs. But don't forget about Rod Smith here. If you're going to take Ezekiel Elliott in your draft, Rod Smith turned out to be very good at times as a replacement for Elliott. There's no more Alfred Morris here, and there is Tavon Austin, so there's no Lance Dunbar. So you're looking at a solid insurance policy. Rod Smith is clearly the guy with no Morris there. He can do a little bit of everything behind Ezekiel Elliott. Now, we don't have the suspension this year, but there are things that can happen there to change Elliott's fate. So you want to definitely make sure you're capitalizing and having Rod Smith in the mix. Now, CJ Procise has showed up healthy for Seattle, and we have to start paying attention to him because he does have some wiggle and some pop. Chris Carson right now is the early down back of choice, but in a PPR league, I'm looking at CJ Procise. As long as he's staying healthy and doing things right for the coaches, he's going to have a role here. And they have J.D. McKissic, but McKissic did struggle more than you think last year. I think you look at Procise really taking advantage of that role and going into Seattle, having a clear-cut situation. We have to also keep in mind, Seattle, Doug Baldwin is hurt. Paul Richardson is gone. Jimmy Graham is gone. They need somebody, a hybrid player, to really step up that Russell Wilson can lean on. And I think there's a lot of Procise similarities to what Duke Johnson has done to produce in fantasy. So if Duke Johnson's going that high, as long as Procise stays healthy and this Seahawks receiver situation doesn't get better, I mean, you can't really count too much on Brandon Marshall. And then the running backs lean towards the Carson and Penny kind of split. I think that's going to help Procise find his niche and find his fantasy football production. Now, as we go even deeper here, one guy that I'm going to start to look at is Alfred Blue of the Texans. Dante Foreman is still hurting. He's got that Achilles. It's been slow for him to recover. When we look at Alfred Blue, he's now the number two behind Lamar Miller. We know Lamar Miller can break down a little bit. Blue isn't special, but he can run straight ahead, power through, and he's not that far from a big role in this current situation right now. So Alfred Blue is the number two there. I'm really looking at what he can do in this role where he could change for sure, but Blue is being a little bit undervalued in that sense for sure. Now, the Bucs' backfield is a good question mark as well, with Peyton Barber and Ronald Jones and Charles Sims, and look at Jaquizz Rodgers. I think the best value there for now might be Sims, because he has that receiving role. He's at 82 in the rankings, 90. I think this is going to be a flux. I think Ronald Jones is eventually going to be the man there and be featured, but I think Barber's limited skills there is an early down player, and you also have Jaquizz Rodgers, probably the odd man out. So you have to think about Charles Sims here, because you know he can be a pretty good receiver when needed for this team, and it'll be helpful if we know who they're going to keep on that Buccaneers team to figure out who's going to get the touches there that make people happy and lead to some pleasing production there for sure. Now, Orleans Darkwa is a guy that if he signs with the team, we'll see where he might end up. He's a free agent for now, but I really like what Darkwa did. He was helpful as an RB2, RB3 last year, so it's surprising he's not picked up by anyone, but I could definitely see him being in the mix soon if there's an injury in camp. Now, as we go down further in the rankings, you have to consider one guy that we haven't really seen do a lot, but I think you have to look at Terrence West. How are the Saints going to use him in the mix with Mark Ingram missing the first part of the season? He has a chance to maybe do a few things here. So early in the season, we know the Saints are going to run the ball quite a bit here in New Orleans. Now, Terrence West has that potential also being a good swing there for Ingram and Alvin Kamara. So just haven't heard too much about what he's doing. But we know that he was signed shortly after the Ingram suspension. That indicates that they're going to look at more of him in a replacement spot for the early part of the season in New Orleans with that flyer there they took in free agency. It's almost like you have to wait and see how these backfields play out, especially with these two- or three-man committees. It's not the ideal situation, but you have to consider all the options. And another situation I would think about is Kansas City. Kareem Hunt is the starter, but we're trying to figure out who's next there, Spencer Ware or Damian Williams or Charcandrick West. I don't think it's going to be West. I think Ware, there's still a spot for him to do some damage here. There, because Damian Williams is a good swing backup, but Ware, we've seen, can be nicely involved in the passing game if you need him. He can pretty much earn for like good split with Hunt. Hunt is still the man there, and that's why we take him pretty high. But if you're going to still target a backup for Hunt and a high upside handcuff, I would still say it's Ware over the other two guys. I don't think they're going to carry all those backs anyway. So West is, might be out of this mix, but Spencer Ware definitely locked in as the target you want there behind Kareem Hunt in Kansas City. Now, where do you go with the Ravens backs? You got a couple question marks there behind Alex Collins. Who do you want to stash more? You have Kenneth Dixon and Buck Allen. I think PPR and role and Dixon's health has always been an issue here. He had one injury and then came back from that, was sidelined again in camp, knee and hamstring stuff. So when you look at that, I definitely like Buck Allen a little bit more. Get a team that doesn't have a ton of receiving weapons, and Allen is more pure receiving back there behind Collins in that mix, and that's what you have to consider. Now, if you want to know about the young stars of the fantasy football world there in 2019, the best way is to listen to Locked On NFL Draft here on the Locked On NFL Network. Just get your takes on the future stars from John Ledger and Trevor Sikkema, quarterbacks. So who are going to be guys that are going to light it up and have some immediate impact on, like, maybe this year's class will fantasy football. Check out that show and all our great team-by-team podcasts there on the network. We've got you covered weekly, daily, with insight analysis you won't find anywhere else. Now, we've looked at the running back situations and sleepers pretty closely here. Now, as a bonus, we're going to talk a little bit about tight end sleepers. We don't have as many because this position is not too deep, and you won't have to dig way low down there. But I think the guy that we have to start with here for sure is Austin Seferian-Jenkins of the Jaguars. It didn't work out so well for him last year with the Jets. Had a little flash and had some fantasy relevance for a very short time, but this offense is suited better for him. They need a big target with that Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson didn't play all last year for most of part, but ASJ can really be an impact player here, and that's what you have to look at overall. That this is a team that's going to be conservative, run heavy, use the tight end quite a bit, and you go from there. Vance McDonald is a guy that I'm also looking at a deep sleeper, but he shouldn't be, really. He's going to be the number one tight end. He's already earned that spot over Jesse James there in Pittsburgh. And we know what Pittsburgh can do offensively. They have a lot of firepower there. So I'm really liking what Vance McDonald can do in this offense. And we know he had a 100-yard game in the playoffs. He was dominant. So against the Jaguars, we saw what he could do as an athlete. Kind of tapping into what the 49ers drafted him for coming out of Rice this now several years ago, but coming to fruition in offense where they can actually tap into his potential. Benjamin Watson is also a guy, if you look at his past with the Saints, very productive there, comes back to the situation. They didn't really have anyone to fill in for Jimmy Graham's role last year. Josh Hill wasn't an answer. They seen Kobe Fleener go into retirement. So Watson is a key target there for Drew Brees. He once again, so again, sleeper. These guys are going buried near the bottom of the tight end twos, and that's where you have to go there. I don't usually get crazy about rookie tight ends, but Mike Gesicki, you have to keep talking about him. I think people are going to just totally undervalue him. He's now going 20. So people are taking him higher than 25, but I think there is some potential where he's a high-end tight end too, just because of the nature of the offense where they need underneath targets. There's not a lot of a consistency there from their veteran receivers that are still left post-Jarvis Landry. So Gesicki is a guy I'm circling and wanting to go after. Late is a good stash, and definitely in a keeper league. He has very high upside, and he's going to go do some good things over the long term. Now, Tyler Kroft, I think Tyler Eifert, when you look at where he's going, people are drafting him 14th, so still a tight end 2, ranked 16th. Tyler Kroft is ranked 27th. I don't see the reason for that separation where Kroft was very effective last year, and Eifert is still pretty much hurt here. So Kroft, I'm eyeing on. If you have any more news about Eifert and potential setbacks or not looking so great in camp, be ready to jump on Kroft. And finally, I'll talk about one more guy, because the other situations, frankly, that we could talk about tight ends are a little bit cloudy, is Blake Jarwin of the Cowboys. And again, you may have never heard of this guy, but Blake Jarwin is doing some good things. It looks like it could be a committee with Jeff Swaim, because Jarwin is not necessarily the most reliable blocker in the world. But we know with no Jason Witten, Dak Prescott is going to lean on the tight end quite a bit. So I'm looking at guys that could pull out and have their own spot rather than guys that are sharing the tight end work when I'm going for deep sleepers. And then you have definitely a qualification there with what Jarwin can do for the Cowboys. So special underrated receiver. I think you're going to hear more and more about him going forward. But Blake Jarwin has to be on the fantasy football radar going into 2018. That's for sure. So there you have it. There's a look at the sleeper, deep sleeper running backs and tight ends for the 2018 fantasy football season for your draft for now. We'll come back with the next show and look at the other positions, quarterback and wide receiver, to help identify some deeper sleepers that you should keep in mind and why we're thinking that they're good value picks for you later in the draft that hopefully not everyone will be onto, and you can take advantage of a very good steal. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time with a breakdown of those other two positions. And make sure that you're downloading any past podcasts to catch up here and really get your draft prep revved up for the fantasy football season. And we'll have plenty more insight coming to you until you've got your roster all set and the championship in the works. So, again, we'll see you next time for Locked On Fantasy Football.